We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown. This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to a special edition of RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. On today's show, we are going to be doing a draft. We've done a few of these recently. We're going to keep doing them throughout the rest of the offseason in the different formats. We'll be drafting in the FFPC main event. We'll be drafting in the Football Guys Players Championship. We'll be drafting in some of these FFPC best ball tournaments as well. And we had some requests in from the listeners to hear our strategy and our talk as to how we decide to make these picks. And what better way to talk through it than when we are on the clock trying to make those decisions. So myself and Sean are going to be on this show. We're going to be joined by Blair Andrews. Blair, of course, the author of The Wrong Read, one of mine and Sean's favorite pieces to discuss on the show. He is a massive part of what we do over here at RotoViz, one of the co-owners along with Sean himself. So Blair's going to join us now in a moment as we go through the draft. We'll be going through the earlier parts of the draft and those opening rounds on today's show, and then throughout the week we will be dropping the rest of the editions as we go through the mid rounds, the late rounds, and then as well heading up the recap of what we would change or what we would do differently once we see how all has settled on our lineup. This is going to be in the FFPC tournament, which is a best ball tournament. It's a $105 entry fee, $100,000 to first place. So we will be going through that. It is a slim draft if you're playing at the FFPC, which means it is 18 rounds. There is no kickers, there is no defense, so that is one of the main changes, and it is tight end premium as well. So we did draw the 12th slot in this. So if we talk about zero RB, that might be perking a lot of people's interest to see how we go. Let's see if we did that or if we did a different approach, because it was an interesting draft, I will say that. So let's get straight into it. Let's get into those opening rounds. It's going to be interesting to see what options are there. A lot of our favorite guys are probably going to be gone. I think Waller will probably be gone, but I think the likes of, you know, Stephon Diggs or Tyreek Hill might be there. We've seen Barkley fall a little bit over the last couple of weeks. Are we thinking maybe starting wide receiver in that opening spot, Sean?
ADP suggests there's an outside chance of being able to start Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs. Those are the two guys who probably should be drafted in the top six picks. If you get both of them on your roster, then that's a absolutely fantastic start, even with the emphasis on getting that running back early. Blair, I know that you love that start. What if we have Saquon Barkley fall to us at 12? We've seen him fall to the 11th. We've seen him fall into the second round on occasion because of concerns about his health. We've been suggesting on the site, and definitely it's my take. I'm interested in your take. He, for me, is really the only guy beyond Christian McCaffrey who has that 20-plus win rate potential in 2021 out of the early guys. But he also has that massive red flag of the injury. Is he someone who, if he falls to 12, that we want to take the risk on him, or are you off of Barkley with the injury status?
Yeah, I'm not completely off of Barkley, although it's hard for me to kind of imagine if he's there at 12 that I would definitely take him. You know, it depends on who else is on the board, but in most cases, if I see him fall a little bit, there are guys that I like more than Barkley. So it's it's definitely a difficult decision, I think, if he's staring at us at 112. I think all the points you made about him having really the most upside of any of these early guys besides McCaffrey is probably right. We've seen him put that kind of season together in the past. I mean, in his rookie season. So it's hard to ignore that, but at the same time, you know, the risks are really concerning, I think, not only in terms of his injury, but in terms of how good that offense is actually going to be. So
yeah, and as we go through it here, Waller has gone off the board at the 106, and then Kamara followed by Stephon Diggs. So Diggs isn't there. We'll hope that maybe Hill still will get to us. Kettle is another player that might be interesting at that 201. Obviously, now that we can't get Kelce or Waller. What's your thoughts, Blair, on George Kittle?
So I like Kittle. I took him in the Scott Fish Bowl because Waller and Kelce were already gone. That was at 111. So I'm definitely fairly bullish on him, although I do understand the concerns with that offense having a rookie quarterback, and kind of it's hard to see exactly how that plays out. So there are some red flags with Kittle that make me definitely prefer Waller if we could have gotten him. But yeah, I'm curious to hear what you guys think about Kittle.
Kittle is so good, right? And if you're going to get him at the turn, then you can look at that as a value. I talk constantly about the fact that I look at talent and I feel like the top guy is going to carve out his role in an offense. And then everybody else below that is going to have to figure out where they are. And so you don't necessarily have to worry about the top guy quite to the same extent. At the same time, it does lower the ceiling a little bit. And I think that ceiling may be very low also structurally with what the 49ers could do this season. And so this first round range and then maybe into the middle of the second, that's probably the only time period where I would avoid a player a little bit on volume, simply because the price is so high and the upside from some of the other players is also then very, very significant. Colin, we see Barkley comes off. We don't have to worry about making that choice. Unfortunately, Tyreek Hill also comes off. And now we're kind of looking at this decision with a Jonathan Taylor. I have him in that 103, 104, 105 range. I know that you like him as your third back after McCaffrey and Cook. The problem, of course, and Drew Dinkmeyer talked about this on our DFS to best ball episode of Ceiling Bananas, but you've got to get through week 14, right? That's the first playoff week. If you don't make it through week 14, you're not going to win a lot of money, and you're not going to be there at the end, obviously, to win week 17. Jonathan Taylor, this huge upside. Can we take him here in round one?
I think it's a pick that feels to me like if with Hill gone, I think we probably should do it. Obviously, the week 14 is something that's going to affect it, but you do get that extra week in season. I think if we didn't have the week 14 bye, there's no way that he is at this point of the draft. So I think it becomes a value there. You have that extra week in season when the bye week hasn't happened, and I think we can try and fill through the running backs later on to, you know, give us that a little bit to kind of try and steer us through playoff picture if we are there in that week 14 bye for Jonathan Taylor. So I think I would be going with Taylor here unless there's any objections.
So yeah, we're running out of time. We take Taylor, and then we have another controversial selection in Devontae Adams at the 201. I kind of like putting these two guys together. I don't think they're going to be together a ton. Although if Taylor is taken in the middle of the first and Adams taken in the middle of the second because of the concerns about Aaron Rodgers, maybe that does happen. I like to have the best player from last season, and Adams really was that. Coming here to go with Adams, someone who could score the points to get us through. Blair, what should we be thinking about the Aaron Rodgers situation at this juncture?
Yeah, I don't really have a good beat on the Aaron Rodgers situation. I'm still taking Devontae Adams when he slides a little bit and I can get him at a value, because I think kind of like you said, assuming Rodgers does play, his upside is just so huge in this offense. So I like Adams here at 201. And my guess, you know, if I had to lean one way, I think Rodgers is probably going to play, but I mean, maybe that's just wishful thinking on the part of my Adams teams.
Yeah, well, we have to make the Adams selection here for Column. This is an overtime Ireland draft. We got to get the Packers in there. I think the other option really would be DeAndre Hopkins. He's someone else who really goes quite a bit later, so you do have a chance to get some exposure later on in the draft. Column, we take Adams here. Feel good about that? I mean, are you on board with your Packers? Are they going to make the right moves? Are they going to figure out how to lure the MVP?
This has not been fun, and I think Sean can tell that from when every time it comes up when we're recording the OT podcast, and there's hopes that Sean has of him lining up for the Broncos to get those Broncos wide receivers and that in the action. But I love Devontae Adams. Have a Devontae Adams jersey up on my wall here, and I have Aaron Rodgers signed helmet over on this side here. So it's been a tough off-season, waiting to see if Rodgers comes back, but the news seems to have quietened down a little bit over the last couple of days, and I think that's going to be positive. And at the moment, I expect Rodgers to be there for the start of camp here, or very close to it. So let's hope that's the case. I think the NFL in general will be better for it. I think there's absolutely no chance they trade him. So he's either going to sit it out, or he's going to play. And I think he's going to play.
Well, if nothing else, I mean, you said he's not going to be traded. We can always take some more Broncos in the draft later on to make sure we have Rodgers exposure either way.
Hey, RotoViz radio listener. This is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package, is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So when we're looking ahead now to the next turn, the 3-4 turn, we have a nice bit of time to talk through it here, as there's about 14 picks to go. But where are we looking here? I think there's a number of different options that we could go for, but where are we thinking?
Well, I'm obviously looking at some of the receivers, hoping they keep falling.
Let me give my best case scenario. I think I would be taking C.D. Lamb and T.J. Hockenson if the two of them are available. Is that kind of something that we'd be looking at?
I'm hoping that we can add some Hockenson to this draft. I think he fits really nicely with the players we've drafted so far. I think that we can get that high volume. It's a step forward this season and kind of moves into that Kittle, Kelsey, or maybe not even Kelsey and Waller, but sort of that Kittle, Ertz area in terms of talent, and then has the entire Detroit offense behind him. You know, we're looking at the kind of volume that has turned Kelsey and Waller into absolute superstars, and we can get it with and still have that first round pick that we didn't have to use at tight end. It'll be interesting to see what wide receivers come through here. We're going to have a little different build than sometimes potentially, because as we discussed before the show, the elite QBs may not come back to us in round five. So that'll be an interesting dynamic if any of those guys fall. We sort of have to draft with the idea that they won't.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, and there is other options there in that range if they do happen to not make it to us. But yeah, I think the Lamb the Lamb Hawkinson would be my preferred option. Blair, just out of interest, I'll name out a few wide receivers that might be there in that range. If Lamb and Hawkinson happen to go, it's probably going to push maybe Terry McLaurin, Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, Robert Woods into that range. Are they wide receivers that interest you this year, or are we kind of looking then maybe to pivot to running back if that happened?
Oh, I don't think I'd be looking to pivot to running back necessarily, but
this is Blair Andrews we're talking with here.
Yeah, McLaurin is definitely interesting to me. The other guys, maybe not quite as much. Now, well, it's funny. It depends on what running backs we're talking about. Like taking ETN at 4.01 is pretty early, but I might be tempted to do something like that. and then, you know, the receivers that I'm probably looking at there would be maybe a reach, but I don't know. DJ Moore, Chris Godwin.
Where we published articles in the last week, both telling readers to target Mike Evans and to avoid Mike Evans. And the evidence marshaled in favor of both arguments was substantial and compelling. He's one of those guys where if he were a little bit earlier, I think the avoid argument would be pretty clear cut. But when we're talking about the middle of the fourth round, for us, it obviously would be the 3-4 turn. Is he someone that has enough spike upside to still be a target here? Or are you kind of on the Chris Godwin bandwagon?
I'm definitely more on the Chris Godwin bandwagon. So from that perspective, it's hard to take Evans with Godwin still on the board. But that said, I mean, I think the case for his upside is pretty compelling, and I wouldn't be opposed to Evans at the beginning of the fourth, but I do prefer Godwin.
Colin, you're also a Chris Godwin guy. Is that right, or am I?
No, I would go Godwin as well. It's pretty close based on, like you mentioned, the value has tended to be in previous years that Evans has gone, a round or so ahead of Godwin. And this year, they're pretty much neck and neck, pick for pick. So I think at that point, I would still go Godwin. You mentioned as well, DJ Moore. He's another person that I probably would stretch to get. But I think, you know, taking him almost 12 picks and above ADP is a bit of a go, but I still wouldn't be against it. But I am fully hoping that it's Lamb. You mentioned as well the players that I listed, the one that I would be hoping to get, but I think if Lamb's gone, he's also gone, and that's McLaurin. I think he would be a good value there, but let's keep it positive thoughts, see who we get here as it comes back. It is going kind of as we would expect for the draft. Wide receivers starting to come off pretty well. Kyle Pitts coming off the board now. I mentioned Pitts and you asked about him, Blair. What's your thoughts on Pitts this season?
Well, I love Pitts in Dynasty, and I am pretty bullish on him. Oh, there goes Hockenson. Pretty bullish on him even in 2021, even though we kind of know that tight ends take a little while to really get going in the NFL. We can't necessarily expect big things in year one from most tight ends coming out. I mean, Pitts kind of looks like he's just a really big wide receiver. We just talked about Mike Evans. Pitts reminds me, when you watch him play, he looks like Mike Evans. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought it would be interesting if we could get a two wide receivers in 1-2 to also go Hockenson, Pitts or something at 3-4 if they would fall, but that would be a fun draft, but didn't work out.
In terms of how it went there, for anyone listening in, it went as against us as we could hope for. TJ Hockenson, CeeDee Lamb, and Terry McLaurin all coming off the board. So, Sean, where are we starting to look? We did mention Godwin. We did mention Moore. Are we starting to look towards either of those guys at this point?
Yeah, I was going to say that we could do a McLaurin-Cooper pairing because those guys actually played each other twice during this time period we have to get through. But now I think it makes some sense to have a team that is substantially different from the rest of the group here. And I think that going with Moore and Godwin at this spot with the guys that we have him paired with would be pretty unique. What are the thoughts on just doing that Moore Godwin double?
Yeah, I'm with it at this point. Yeah. You happy, Blair?
Yep.
And just based on those guys that are available,
they are the ones that I would be trying to target. It is a little bit early, and I think you touched on it earlier, Blair. It's probably a bit early for Etienne as well. So that's why I'd be leaning to Godwin.
We do still have Mark Andrews here, so we went with Moore. We could go with Andrews to get one of those tight ends, and then there's that potential for Lamar Jackson to come back around. He's one of the guys I've seen slide a little bit more than some of the other QBs. It'd be interesting to have that pairing too, and that would give us a potential tight end early. So that might also be a possibility. Are there votes in favor of that instead?
Well, I mentioned Andrews at the start, so I'm definitely not against it. Blair, you can be the casting ballot here in the decision.
Oh man, I'm okay with Andrews too. I guess the question is, are we happy with the tight ends we can get later if we skip Andrews? And with 9 seconds, we don't have much time to decide.
Well, I took Andrews then, since we were running low on time. Yeah. I hope you aren't going to go against that, Sean. But what's your thoughts there on adding Andrews? I did mention at the start I was hoping to get Hockenson, but I do think there is a gap here from this point. And when I tend to go for it, I know there's guys coming up that we like, you know, Fant is going to come up in a moment. There's going to be Logan Thomas. I'm trying to get two of those guys. Like, if I'm taking Waller, I tend to try and take one of those then later in the draft. And I think getting Andrews there is going to have one of those two guys, I think, is going to be very good on a weekly basis. But I don't have full confidence that we're going to be, you know, okay the whole way through with just one of those guys and then putting in those extra tight ends late. So what do you think now that the pick is made?
Yeah, it's tricky not getting Hockenson because the other tight ends are no guaranteed to make it to us in an area where they're a decent value. And once you start reaching for them early, then you build in even a lot more potential weakness into your draft because we know they get hurt. We know that they bust. If you don't hit on them, then obviously they ruin your team. And so I do like having Andrews there because it gives us a little bit of protection against, you know, what's potentially coming. And I do think that with Jonathan Taylor as our first round pick, then Mike Gesicki is no longer really an option for us.
Yeah, with the week 14. And, you know, when we look at the tight ends that tend to go after him, I know there's a couple of rounds gaps, but it's Dallas Goedert, Fant, Higbee, Logan Thomas, and Gesicki. And the ones that I tend to be going for there are Gesicki, Thomas, and Fant. So then if we didn't take Andrews there, if we miss out on Fant and Thomas, and then like we're down to only Gesicki at that point, we're starting to get into a very thin tight end group. So I just like having the security there, particularly in this format. That brings us then ahead to the next round. You've mentioned about the possibility of Lamar Jackson possibly sliding to us. So in most of my drafts, I tend to go for one of those quarterbacks, or then I tend to leave it then to we're into kind of round 10, 11, 12, that range. We'll test the fantasy gods first. How confident are we that one of those guys is going to make it back? We didn't fare too well with our hopes in the last turn.
Well, with no quarterbacks off the board yet, I mean, usually Mahomes has gone by now. So it's looking pretty good for these QBs getting back to us, I would say.
The question then, I think too, I think it's going to be a difficult choice to actually take that QB, even if he falls, because we've taken Davante Adams. We're sort of in on Aaron Rodgers being back with the Packers this season. I think he becomes a compelling choice later on. We may still be able to set up to have some Washington players, in which case Blair, Colin and I always kind of go at this in terms of I really want Fitzpatrick as a late QB, and Colin doesn't think he's going to be the Washington starter for the whole season. So we run into a little bit of a deadlock there.
I started to take a stand because I just couldn't get Sean to agree to draft Matt Ryan at any point. So then this is my payback.
So who do you think is going to be the Washington starter?
I don't know. I think Fitzpatrick will probably be the starter for the majority of the season. I think just the problem is we think after what has happened throughout his whole career that he's moved so many teams, that he's played in different roles, that now that he's just going to be this like veteran, now 17-week starter who's going to put up consistent production without turning the ball over a lot of times. So I always think Fitzpatrick fits best when it's that like off the bench, doesn't matter. Let's just throw the ball. I think then when it gets into situations when there's game plan, it doesn't always work out correctly for him. So I can't think of too many other situations where like a journeyman quarterback, like, but I guess we're getting a huge discount obviously on the value. So if he does deliver, you know, three quarters of what we're hoping for, I think it will still be a good value at that point. But I think Heineke's probably the one that's going to give him a run for his money. But I'm not drafting him either.
I think it would be a more difficult case to make for Fitzpatrick if Washington had drafted a QB early in this season. But I don't know if I believe in Heineke either.
No, I don't know if there's too many people except for he might believe in himself, but outside of that.
I do, feel what you're saying about not taking a quarterback here, because the guys who might be on the board include guys like Higgins and Ayuk, who I draft on basically every team this offseason. So maybe, yes. Maybe I should diversify, but it's just too hard.
My other thing I was going to mention there, the other guy, Sean, that, well, I think that you like this year's Deontay Johnson. Am I right there?
I do. I like all three of the receivers, but I think that his path to target volume is greater. I mean, we've seen these guys play together. We would expect Chase Claypool to take a step forward, but I do think that there are still some red flags about Chase based on both his collegiate performance and even some of the off-the-field things that have happened. I really thought he would be more involved down the stretch last season than he was, when really Deontay Johnson and Juju were reasserting themselves as the main guys in this offense. And so, I mean, I'm trying to get all three of them, but Claypool is actually not the second year wide receiver I'm trying to get as much exposure to as Higgins, Ayuk, Judy, Chenault, and then even Ruggs at his price, I think, is pretty interesting. And Blair has always been a Henry Ruggs fan, combining that blistering speed with the huge hands and the draft slot. You know, he likes to dream of the breakout there. I'm getting more and more on board with the Ruggs, maybe not emergence as a star, but I think he's going to be fantasy viable. So he's someone, obviously there's a lot of variety in that range, but at the 1201, that's exactly where Ruggs is. So those are some of the guys. I think that Deontay Johnson does have a potential, you know, wide receiver six, wide receiver seven in him. And, you know, at wide receiver 24, you're getting a pretty good discount.
Yeah, I think, and I think the Ruggs one's interesting. I think last year where he went in the draft, and I think was much too high, and I think where he was being drafted then in drafts was much too high. But I think this year, I think we could see, like, he could be one of those players that everyone's just decided that they don't want to ever see again, who then does have substantial value as the season goes along. I do think if we can get to them, I do think that Higgins and Ayuk for me would be the two picks here. I wouldn't be against Deontay Johnson either. So if we got two out of those three, I'd be very pleased. I think, like Sean mentioned, I think going into that range, and who knows, maybe today is the day that me and Sean agree on which quarterback to choose. But I think the Rodgers range, you know, Joe Burrow, and into that range, and then even onwards to Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think we can bolster them together there. So I'm happy to not go quarterback. And as we've seen in the last couple of moments, Mahomes, Murray, and Allen have gone off the board. So ideally here we would see Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson go off the board before it gets back to us to push those guys down a little bit. So let's see what happens there.
Blair, where are you with Joe Burrow right now? Obviously, we like those Bengals receivers, but there's a little bit of concern about how healthy he will be right off the bat. And then in terms of plotting a little bit later, our projections from Dave Cabin have Tom Brady really high, which is one of the things that, again, kind of follows off of those Buccaneers wide receiver articles as well, looking at, you know, with Brady's efficiency, with how well they played in the second half of the season, with having the three stars, it's kind of difficult to see him not having a big season. You know, can those guys do for us the same kinds of things that the hybrid QBs could do? Now, maybe they don't have the same very top level of upside in combining both the passing efficiency and the rushing value. But when we've seen individual big seasons from pass only QBs in the past.
Yeah, for sure. I'm very high, especially on Burrow, probably more than I should be. But I mean, on the other hand, you know, year two is when we expect these quarterbacks to take big steps forward. Most of the time we see, you know, if first round quarterbacks are going to break out, it's usually in year two. So considering what Burrow did in his rookie season, I'm pretty excited for what he can do in his sophomore year, even coming off the injury. So, yeah, and then Brady is someone I haven't necessarily been drafting a ton of, but I, yeah, with the weapons he has, I think it makes a lot of sense.
So we've got absolutely destroyed yet again. T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, and Deontay Johnson have gone off the board, and there's one pick to go before it comes along to us. So our plans have obviously got to change here quite a bit. How are we thinking about, I know we're going to have to stretch for them, but how are we thinking about, I don't know, I think it's going to be too early for some of those tight ends. what's our options here?
Well, we can go with Fant early. The other thing, we actually get a deal if we went with Javonte Williams, which I think is probably the way to go. I mean, that gives us a ton of flexibility to go after some of the people where maybe we know it's not the percentage play, but some of those wide receivers we like later, like a Ruggs. I mean, Williams fits so many of the things that we like in terms of the potential to blow up and crush the league. I guess with the receivers we're targeting off the board, unless we wanted a Kenny Galladay or unless, you know, we wanted to chase Claypool here, then I mean, we can take the running back without a lot of damage, take the running back and then even take Fant as the tight end.
Yeah, I think we take the running back and then gives us a little bit more time, I guess, on the clock to think through what we want to do here. Blair, have you any strong feelings on who we take here on this next one? I would be tempted, like the way I'm looking at it here is there's really no chance that Fant gets back to us from this point forward. You know, I know we're going to have to take a stretch on it, but is there any guys that are going in that next round and a half that you're interested in pushing up the board here?
So I go back and forth, I guess, on Fant versus Logan Thomas because it looks like neither of them will probably make it back to us. So that's really the kind of debate for me. But I like both of them, so that's why it's so tricky.
I'll let Sean be the deciding vote here. I think I like that was going to be my pitch, was going to lean to a tight end. I'd probably lean towards Fant, but...
Well, I have a ton of Fant. I've got a lot of exposure to both players. I've got a ton of Logan Thomas exposure. So why don't we go with Fant here? He may have a little bit more breakout. The combination of less target competition and a better quarterback for Logan Thomas with how he finished the last month of last season, I think that makes him pretty compelling. There is maybe a slight chance that he would come back around, but I actually think that you can draft the three tight ends here and it gives you a hammer team. I mean, people are not looking at the tight ends correctly in terms of what the upside is in those playoff weeks. And so we have that opportunity. Probably he won't come back with Andrews and Fant. We have two guys who are among the most talented tight ends in the NFL. Andrews has that ability to hit as an efficiency play. Fant could become really much more the star this season in that offense. I mean, a lot of the discussion, the dynamic when people are debating the Broncos focuses on, you know, can the quarterbacks really do anything? And then is it going to be Cortland Sutton? Is it going to be Jerry Jeudy? Well, it may be Noah Fant, right? I mean, there are some mild concerns in that Albert O, when he was actually out there and healthy last year, looked better than Fant, right? And so, you know, you have another tight end on his own team that may be even a superior prospect. But Fant, one of those still relatively rare guys who has the size and can catch and can take that ball, you know, 60, 70 yards. I mean, even players like a Travis Kelce, like, you know, a George Kittle. I mean, Kittle's created some big plays, but when we're looking at guys who could take the ball the entire way, I mean, you're looking at a Waller, you're looking at a Pitts, you're looking at, you know, a Noah Fant. And so having that upside, if the offense emerges, if he actually is the guy and those receivers are taking the defensive attention off of him, you know, we had some games last season where he was the focal point, and Blair and I had both Hawkinson and Fant on our main event team. And it was a little bit of a weekly headache trying to decide which direction to go.
It's funny. I saw, I think somebody tweeted out an image from the screener comparing Hawkinson and Fant. and they had almost identical per game numbers over their careers. And, you know, Fant is obviously going, no, Hockenson is going a lot earlier and has more of the buzz. And I guess part of that is maybe his QB situation. But, you know, maybe Bridgewater is a big upgrade over Drew Lock. So we could see Fant really, really move into that almost elite range.
Yeah, and Bridgewater is not the guy who really attacks down the field. I mean, if you're talking about Bridgewater versus Goff, I mean, that's
probably what I was going to say. Yeah.
For the long, so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, if we're pinning our hopes on Goff, you know, mightn't go as well. But I think obviously there's the thoughts of like the games that he's played, obviously with Stafford. Stafford's no longer there. I think both of them have that upside. And I think that's the reason that I'm more so willing to take the risk on Fant over Thomas when I'm picking at that exact same spot. If they're both on the board, and I think it's the upside of those big plays. I like we've seen Fant pretty much take nothing and turn it into something very big with some plays. So it's just about consistency really from him. I think we're probably going to get more consistency from Logan Thomas, but I don't know if the upside is quite the same. So I think it's interesting. But Sean was mentioning, you know, the tight ends in this format. I do think that it's interesting so far in this that there's both us and Team Six have both gone two tight ends in this first six rounds. Up until the Hunt pick as well, I was looking at team number eight. They were going with a lot of our kind of preferred options there. So it's an interesting start from them as well. But it's not the way I had intended the draft to start, but I will say that I'm not displeased with it overall. How do we feel about back-to-back Broncos picks?
You can never get too much Denver Broncos, right? I mean, that's going to be the emerging offense for 2021.
So we'll leave it there for today's episode. An interesting start to the draft. A lot of the time at that back end of the draft, we might have been looking to go wide receiver. But in this occasion, with Jonathan Taylor falling to where he has, even though there is a week 14 by, and that is a key in this format, that he's going to actually miss week 14 where the playoff starts. So that it does give you that extra week in the season. We're big Jonathan Taylor fans, and it is an interesting one there. Probably would have went, I think I would lean towards Hill Adams if that had been the option, but when Taylor went, I think it was a smart decision to pivot. I think getting those tight ends as well, but makes for an interesting lineup. Obviously, we love the wide receivers. Tune back in for the next edition, which will be dropping tomorrow, and we will be talking through where the rest of those guys are going to go on our board. Which wide receivers are we going to target? How are we going to finish out the running back position? And so on and so forth. Of course, Blair did join us on today's show. That is Blair Andrews, one of the co-owners at RotoViz. Check him out on Twitter at AmITheRealBlair. Give him a follow. And Blair, as always, author of The Wrong Read, tremendous content. Do check that out. As always, my name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and my co-host of the Overtime podcast here on RotoViz Radio is Sean Siegel. Check out Sean's great work up on rotoviz.com. Until we're back with another edition of the show, of course, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.